Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
All right, let's get this party started. It's a pity party today. News of the morning. Karl Anthony Towns has been diagnosed with a torn meniscus in his left knee and is out indefinitely, as per the Shams Charania tweet a couple hours ago. This is extremely unfortunate news, although we need to kind of take it step by step. By the way, this show is also going to be a Wednesday recap show, so welcome to Fantasy NBA Today. I'm Dan Vesperus, at Dan Vesperus? At Dan Vesperus over on social media, so please do find a way to go check me out over there. So immediately after the Shams tweet, or a couple minutes later, I guess I should say, we got the Woj, we got a Chris Haynes tweet about Ben Simmons. Not that anybody cared. Simmons is out, by the way, for the rest of the year, to nobody's surprise. I mean, we said five games. He played a few more than that, so congratulations. I guess he hit the over on our board. But a couple minutes after that, Woj tweeted that Kat suffered a left meniscus injury, but it remains unclear about how much, if any, time he'll be required to miss. Towns and his team are working to get full understanding of the degree of injury and whether it demands immediate action. It would be, I think, somewhat jarring to see Kat play in Minnesota's next ballgame. They've already started to ask the players what they think about it on the team, and they're all talking about, you know, how they all need to step up and things like that. So that's, I think, a pretty good indication that they're expecting to miss Towns for some length of time. And we don't know exactly what that is. Perhaps he goes the surgical route, which is month and a half, something in that range if he comes back quickly. Perhaps they go the rest and recover thing. So what do we do? That's always the quick question. What do we do? First thing is, you got to go grab Naz Reid if he's not already on a team. Presumably, he's already on a team because he'd been playing well with Slow-Mo had been out for a little bit in there, and Gobert missed the ball game, and so there were these opportunities to pick up Naz Reid last week, and it's kind of carried through. He had like one quiet game in there, but overall, he's had more opportunity. But if he's on the wire, go and scoop him fast. If he's unavailable, your other choice here is the aforementioned Slow-Mo. Now, I don't know that there's a guarantee that Kyle Anderson hits 12-team startable value. He hasn't really had the role. Remember, we talked about this on yesterday's show. He hasn't really had the role this season. Forget just the minute drop-off, because last year he played 28 minutes, this year he's at 22. Forget the minute drop-off. It's the what is he doing in his time on the floor, in my eyes at least, that is, I don't want to say more jarring necessarily, but it's something. Like, he's playing 22 minutes a game, but he's not really being asked to do anything. He's taking 5.2 shots, 3.5 rebounds. The assists are kind of the only thing right now that's where you'd expect of him. The steals pace is basically where he's been for the last 3 or 4 seasons, but the block pace is lower. So the scoring is down because the field goal percent is down. And does an absence of Cat, does that allow him to maybe take a few extra shots when he's on the court? I don't know. I don't think that with Anderson, he's someone that you have to go race out and pick up. I think that this is, he's a name where, I think that's one where if you're going and you're adding Kyle Anderson, you're doing it because you feel like you need to do something with this news. But the thing you need to do with this news is check to see if Naz Reid is on a roster. And if he is on a roster, then you kind of just have to say, oh, well, and move on to the next thing. Now, if Kyle Anderson comes out in Minnesota's next ballgame and plays 28 or 29 minutes, to me, that changes everything. Because even in a lower volume role, that's enough playing time for him to be a workable fantasy asset in pretty much every format. Because he'll get you over a steal, he'll get you close to a block, he'll get you 5+ rebounds, he'll get you close to 5 assists, he'll probably get you about 8 to 9 points somewhere in that neck of the woods in 28, 29 minutes of ballgame. That's playable on good field goal percent. Not great free throw, but he doesn't really take any. He doesn't shoot the three ball either. But that combination of assists and steals and blocks and some rebounds, that's probably enough to get him in the mix. But again, we're going to need full starters minutes to get him there. Slow-mo in this lower usage role, he's not going to do it in 24, 25 minutes of ballgame. It needs to be 28+. So don't overextend yourself, especially in a time right now where there are a million players popping up on the wire, and we'll talk about them when we get into the recap part of our show here momentarily. There are so many names out there of guys that might be useful over the next couple of weeks that, especially on the head-to-head side, if you're blowing a roster move on this, you know, there's other considerations for head-to-head also, which is Minnesota's terrible schedule coming up starting next week. If you're in a brutal battle right now, you could pick up both Naz and Kyle Anderson because they go 3 times over the next 4 days. That's great for head-to-head. If you're in Roto, it's only Naz Reid. And then if you're in head-to-head, you probably have to punt on a lot of your Timberwolves, including guys that have been useful all year, like a Mike Conley around number 70. If you're in a playoff week and he's got a 2-gamer next week, that's probably not holdable. So Naz Reid and Kyle Anderson definitely wouldn't be holdable next week. Again, head-to-head Roto, such a different discussion right now. Most of what I try to do, and I should roll it back a tiny bit, this is our morning show. This is one of 2 shows happening today. Later on this afternoon, we're going to do a show that just breaks things down from a head-to-head standpoint. That's a schedule-based show because I'm assuming a lot of folks are in their playoffs right now. This morning show, which has breaking news today, but is generally just one where we recap what's been going on, this is more of a schedule-independent analysis. Either you don't have your playoffs right now, or you're in a Roto League, or you're in some other format that doesn't have playoffs, whatever it is, a lot of what I break down on these morning shows during these weeks is geared more towards rest of season, not schedule specific. Schedule specific stuff is going to be in our second show, our quick hitter, our 10 to 15 minute guy that runs early in the afternoon. So if you're not worried about the schedule, Naz Reid is very much a go for however long you need him. Slow-mo, I think, is a wait and see. And that's what we're doing with this stuff.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm not even going to talk about the Ben Simmons news because he's been out anyway. So it literally, thank you Rob Lowe's character from Parks and Rec, literally has nothing to do with anything that we're working on. We had basically just assumed, we've been playing under the overwhelming assumption that he wasn't going to play anyway. All right, officially now, welcome to the show. Again, I'm Dan Bashbris. This is Fantasy NBA Today, a Sports Ethos presentation. Please, friends of all shapes and sizes, please take a moment to like, rate, and subscribe. These things are all enormously important, so thank you in advance for those that are doing it. If you're watching with us on social media, I know we're trying to run this thing live over there. Please take a second to follow, or if you're watching or listening somewhere else, go over and follow. It's at Dan Bespris, D-A-N-B-E-S-B-R-I-S. Also, baseball draft guide is available at Sports Ethos right now. Great deals going on that bad boy. If you are not yet a premium subscriber, the MLB pass is $6 a month. If you are, and I know at least a few of you that are watching the show are NBA subscribers at Sports Ethos, you can upgrade to get baseball and football in the all-sport fantasy pass for $1, and that's only running until the end of the weekend. So you have very limited time now. I've been telling you about that promo, but you're actually running out of time on it. Upgrade from the NBA pass to the all-sport pass, and then you can just leave it on all year. It's a crazy rate. For a $1 increase, you get everything. Just let it ride. Cycle the year. Win at all of your fantasy stuffs. Baseball coming up now. Football in a couple of months. Basketball will be cycling back around before you know it. That's at sportsethos.com. Links in show description along with our Discord channel and our partners at Manscaped and ExpressVPN. All righty. Let's see what happened yesterday, shall we? We'll try to move at a little bit of a better clip since we spent 10 minutes on the Towns injury. Orlando beat Charlotte. This game was a closer... No, Orlando beat Washington, excuse me. That was the day before. This game was closer than it needed to be. Orlando resting Wendell Carter Jr., so Goga Batadze and Mo Wagner split the center minutes like they did for that month and a half that Wendell was out. And it went pretty much the way it did back then, where those guys split them. They were both kind of fringy assets, and neither one is an obvious must-play guy, especially with Orlando's schedule getting kind of wonky here in the next few days. Jalen Suggs, I think, is the only name I really care to mention. He's been playing better of late. I still don't think I quite have the stones to play Suggs against a Roto Games cap. He's number 105 on the season. Over the last month, he's number 133 after that hot start. But over the last 2 weeks, he's number 96 while shooting 58%. So you know that's not a thing that's going to stick. He's been hot of late. Can't rely on that. So I still teeter towards a no for Suggs for nine category leagues. And then nobody else I think is really worth our time. Over on the Wizards side with Marvin Bagley out, we don't know exactly for how long. He missed this ball game. He might miss another one. Was curious if they'd go small or big. And the answer was small to start, but intermittently to a tiny bit larger. Denny Avdia got the start at center in this ball game, but Rashawn Holmes did come off the bench and play 25 minutes, and historically 25 minutes has been enough for him. Problem is, I have no idea if he's going to get 25 minutes again. He was playing well in this one, so he got extra run, but if Rashawn comes out and he's playing like weird molasses version Rashawn Holmes, where he's running underwater, then he won't get 25 minutes. And if Bagley happens to resurface here in the next game or two, then all of this is sort of a moot point. So, watch list for Holmes for now. If we find out he's starting the next ball game, let's say Washington decides to go to a bigger lineup, I think I'd probably drop him in there because you're basically guaranteed like 20 to 22 minutes, which wouldn't be good, but at least it would raise the floor up on a worst-case scenario there, and there's a little bit of upside built in. In the meantime, until we know what's going on with the Wizards' next ball game and whether or not Holmes is starting, Avdia is a big winner here. Koulibaly started, but I don't care. Bench Jordan Poole continues to do stuff, so fire him up every place. And then Corey Kispert, he started, got into awful foul trouble early in this ballgame, managed to squeak out 19 kind of rough minutes. If he starts again in the next one, I would probably play him, even though this one was an epic disaster. I don't expect Kispert to be in foul trouble in another ballgame. He's very, he's kind of been trigger happy here lately, which is good for fantasy purposes. So start him if he starts. if he goes back to the bench and Holmes starts instead, then you kind of, you probably just play a start the starter kind of thing between those two guys. The Zombie Grizzlies were just a tiny bit less undead yesterday. Jaren Jackson Jr. came back and played 37 dazzling minutes, 30 points, 11 boards, 6 blocks for JJJ. It does, I think he's trying to get to 65 games. I don't know if he's going to qualify for any of the various awards, but it does kind of feel like that's where he's trying to get to. I was surprised to see Santi Aldama put up a really nice ball game here, despite JJJ being in. Aldama's a guy that I'm basically only playing when Jaren Jackson sits, which means I missed out on a huge ball game, but that's the way I'm handling Aldama. So look, here's what we're doing. Basically, every time the Grizzlies play on this podcast, we're just going to bing, bang, boom through the names on the board. Vince Williams, start every day. JJJ, if he's playing, start every day. Luke Kennard, if he's starting, start him. And beyond that, things get pretty complicated. Aldama, in my opinion, generally is tied to whether Jaren Jackson's in. So start as an injury replacement there. Lamar Stevens not getting enough minutes. John Conchar's role is not secure enough because he refuses to shoot, so he needs 32-ish minutes to be useful. GG Jackson's a no. Matthew Hurt is obviously a no. You may have noticed that Laravia is the one that I didn't bring up yet. Jake played 32 minutes yesterday, and they were really, really good ones. Deep breath. We don't really know what's coming for him, Laravia, in the next ball game. He was 19-13, 3 blocks and 2 3-pointers here. This is sort of, I mean, this is a delightful line, but there's absolutely no indicators that this is a thing that's going to happen every ball game. He has double-digit rebounds in 2 consecutive games, which is notable. Both wins, by the way, for the Grizzlies, the Zombie Grizzlies, on the road. 14 points, 10 boards in the previous one, 19-13 in this one. The 3 blocks did feel like a little bit of an outlier for him. He's 6'7", kind of a stocky 6'7 type. He has had a couple other ball games where his minutes were higher, February 26th and March 1st, and those were separated games by games where his minutes were much lower. In those, he had 10-5 with a steal and 21-2 with a steal in the other one. So if someone were to come to us and say, hey, I can guarantee you that Laravia is going to play 28 minutes, I'd be like, all right, yeah, I'll give him a shot. But it just doesn't, I don't know that we can safely assume it's going to happen in the next ballgame. And again, this is schedule-independent stuff. Memphis' schedule is sort of fine over the next 4 or 5 days, 5, 6 days, something like that. So, I don't think that matters either way. But in my opinion, it's just, it's too terrifying. I don't know how you drop him in against a games cap. If you wanted to, if you were like, oh, I don't want to miss out on a Laravia mega run. You stick him on your bench or whatever. And if you're in head-to-head, because the Grizzlies' schedule is sort of fine, starting, they don't play today, but starting tomorrow, they go 4 times in 6 days. You could just do it and hope for the best, but I wouldn't use him against the games cap until we know for certain that he's going to be getting more playing time. Philly, things are getting super weird around here. This is a Tyrese Maxey concussion game 2. They're hoping to have him back in the not-too-distant future because it was listed as a mild concussion, whatever the hell that means. Jeff Doughton Jr. had a really nice ball game off the bench, but I'm going to kindly pass on him. Nick Batum was fine, but I'm going to kindly pass there as well. Campaign at 16-5-4, but brutal field goal percent, and that's always going to be the rub with him. Points league, Campaign is your fill-in for Tyrese Maxey. 9-cat, you're going to take more hit with pain than good you're going to get. He will do more damage than good, is basically what I'm getting at there. For Philly, their schedule is sort of also fine. They go every other day starting tomorrow. It's not a thing that you need to be, reaching for. Kelly Oubre is going to be great while all the usage is out there. Buddy Hield is going to be very good while the usage is out there. He also shot the ball terribly, but he did some other stuff that Payne is unable to do. I would trust Hield certainly more in that one when everything levels off. And then Paul Reed is kind of the question mark here because he's now slid back into the starting 5. Bamba has completely disappeared, and Nick Nurse is getting a little bit silly with it. Also, no Kyle Lowry in this ballgame. Another reason to kind of look at a guy like Campaign or a Jeff Doughton and say, because Lowry's going to play in all these other games when they're going every other day. So Lowry's the guy you're picking up to use against a game's cap when he comes back. Just know that Philly's next back-to-back is March 24th and 25th. So you'll have whatever it is, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 8, 9 games of Lowry before likely the next rest day. I don't really know what to do with Paul Reed. Be straight up with you guys. I don't really know. It seems like he's probably an add again if he's back to starting comfortably, but it could change in the next ballgame for all we know. Maybe the benching was him dealing with a minor injury or an illness or something like that that they don't really want to go into, or maybe it was just a wake-up call. Probably belongs on rosters is my take on Paul Reed. I'd say probably an add. I know, really planting my flag in that one, aren't I? Zombie Cavaliers these days, sort of. They have Darius Garland, they still have Jared Allen, but everybody else is hurt, seemingly. George Niang got the start for Max Strus in this one. I thought it was going to be Sam Merrill, so that one didn't work out at all, and hopefully you guys saw the starting lineup and you were able to pull Merrill. I was too late to do so, and that one really hurt. Whoever starts for Max Strus is probably the guy you're playing there. You know, why don't we make this thing simple? Dean Wade, not good enough for a spot start. Garland and Jared Allen, obviously, you're starting. And so then you're basically making a choice between guys like Niang, Merrill, and Caris LeVert. You guys know I hate Caris LeVert's efficiency issues, but honestly, there should be enough volume for him to kind of overcome those more often than not. Efficiency was awful, awful, awful in this ballgame, but I assume it'll be better in the next one. So LeVert is probably a start given the current construction. Okoro's a start given the current construction. And then if Merrill fills in for Strus, you probably start him. If Niang fills in for Strus, I think you could probably start him. Neither one of those guys is super high upside. They're both three-point streamers, so you don't have to. Please don't take this advice to say, oh, Dan said I need to go start George Niang. No. If you're hunting threes, he would be a great fill-in. If Merrill starts and you're hunting threes, then he would be the great fill-in. But Okoro and LeVert are the guys that you can probably go with kind of whether or not you're just trying to tick out one statistical category. As if we needed more bad news, on top of the Karl-Anthony Towns stuff, Jalen Johnson, bad ankle tweak in yesterday's game for Atlanta. He will likely miss, I would think, at least a week, maybe more from this one. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong. Piss is all I have to say about that. No, you know what? I got another word for it. Not only do I say piss, I also say farts. Piss and farts on this Jalen Johnson news. He's been one of the best fantasy plays and maybe the fantasy draft pick of the year, but he did miss some time earlier, and he's probably going to miss some time now, and that could kill you if you're in the playoffs. Hopefully you have a way to stick him in an IL slot when likely that designation comes down. Otherwise, you're going to have a tough decision to make. Clint Capella, only 23 minutes. He's still being somewhat restricted. I don't think they want to really run him up into the 30s because they think his body's going to fall apart. So he and Bruno Fernando are splitting the center minutes almost right down the pipe right now. In fact, in this ballgame, did they go exactly down the middle? Yeah, right down the middle. Fernando and Capella. Someone I posted on Twitter last night when we were talking about the Jalen Johnson stuff. I said something like, we don't really know who's going to step up right now. And someone asked if it was going to be Bruno Fernando. But here's the thing. He didn't play power forward. Bruno had a nice ball game yesterday as the backup center. There wasn't really a backup power forward to deploy for this team. What ended up happening is that Sadiq Bey played about 6-7 extra minutes. And DeJounte Murray probably played 2 or 3 extra minutes. And I would assume that someone like a DeAndre Hunter probably plays a few extra minutes when it's not, I think this was part of a back-to-back, right? Yeah. You'll see a little more out of Garrison Matthews. You'll probably see a couple extra minutes from Trent Forrest. You'll see a couple extra minutes from Bogdan Bogdanovic. Basically, all of the usuals and the unusuals. Everybody is going to take like 4 extra minutes just across the board. So you take Jalen Johnson's 30-ish, and you just split it, like 4 apiece between 7 guys. basically. I think he's been playing, what, 33 minutes a ball game without looking it up, something like that.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That's the way it's going to shake out. It's not going to be, I don't think, one key guy. Although certainly for guys like Sadiq Bey and DeAndre Hunter, who already had all the opportunity in the universe with Trae Young out, they get even more somehow. So the main guys, Capella, barely a start. Fernando, you can look at, but I'm not all that excited about him. But Bogdan, Bey, DeJounte Murray, these are the guys that just, and Hunter, these guys just get to do a little bit more. No real notes on the Clippers. Terrence Mann is still kind of in his little mini heater, but all he did was hit 5 out of 5 shots. There was sort of nothing else there. Norman Powell's the one you're sort of looking at and saying, could he sustain some kind of consistency with Russell Westbrook out? And the answer is probably no. Houston, not much to shake out here either. Big game from Alperen Şengün. Good games from Freddie VanVleet and Jabari Smith Jr. And the young guys are unable to do enough to stay in the lineup. Sadly, this is a pretty good game for Cam Whitmore, but again, not enough. Amen Thompson, not enough. I wish it was enough, but it's not enough. Chicago, barely hanging on to beat the Zombie Jazz, mostly because Alex Caruso is amazing. 4 steals, 3 blocks, and 3 3-pointers. Oh, Chicago, why didn't you trade this dude and get all of the assets? But either way, you start the starters in Chicago until they play a giant opponent, and then you start Andre Drummond. Simple, simple. For Utah, no Keontae George in this one again, still dealing with the after effects of a flu bug or a bad cold or whatever it is. He'll be back soon. In the meantime, Chris Dunn has unfettered access to the point guard spot, so he's a spot play with Keontae George out. John Collins, free reign at center because Kessler's out and Olynyk got traded, so that's great. Jordan Clarkson, 17 shots. He was bad in this ball game, but if he's taking 17 shots, he's a start. And a lot of that has to do with George and Markkanen both being out. There's probably enough usage for Clarkson even when Keontae comes back, but it'll be more borderline. And then Bryce Sensabaugh come out of nowhere, 15 and 12 game, but basically nothing else. And you know me, Captain Buzzkill here on the podcast. I'm just going to let you guys know, when a guy has a really good game, like Sensabaugh did, I don't want to take anything away from his nice ball game, but it's because he shoots 5 of 8 from the field, 3 of 3 at the foul line, makes 2 3-pointers, and just goes max efficiency for a night. What you got to look at is, did he do anything else? No steals, no blocks, 1 assist. Is there a way to float his value if he doesn't basically play a perfect offensive game? And I think the answer, sadly, is no. Plus, when Keontae George comes back, you'll see Chris Dunn lose 6 minutes, but you also see Sensabaugh probably lose about 15. He's an interesting young basketball player. I'll give him that. But I don't think there's a guarantee that he's getting 30 minutes the rest of the way. And even if he does get 30 minutes, I don't know that there's a guarantee he posts value in them. I don't think you need to race out and pick him up. Watch list. Watch list on Sensabaugh. Dunn's the one where you could just throw him in there if we find out Keontae George is missing another ball game. The Thunder haven't had a fantasy note in, how long has the season gone on now? 4.5 months? Yeah, about that long. Portland has plenty of fantasy notes, though. Let's hover over the Blazers here for a moment. Whew, boy. Where to begin? All right, so the Blazers have a lot of guys out right now, but Jeremy Grant did come back, and Anthony Simons was still in there. So let's just start at the core. You can obviously start those two guys. Great. Thumbs up. Terrific. DeAndre Ayton was doubtful for this game coming in, which meant he basically wasn't playing because what do the Blazers have to play for? I do think we probably see Ayton at some point before this season's done. I don't know when. And in the meantime, Duop Reith is a very low-end center replacement because he's a center that shoots the three ball a little bit but doesn't really rebound or get many defensive stats. Okay free throw shooter, bad field goal percent. There's not, in my eyes, there really isn't enough good to outweigh the bad in Roto. Portland has a really good schedule coming up, so again, tweak all of this. We'll talk about the Blazers on our second half of the show later on this afternoon, but like for the, is this someone that's good enough to use against the games cap? Is this someone that I can pick up for a long-term thing? You know my cutoff is, I'm trying not to use a games cap for anybody who's putting up numbers that are kind of outside that top 115, 120 range, and obviously in a perfect world, I'd aim for anybody 99 or better. And I don't know that any of these guys on the Blazers is 99 or better long-term. To Monte Kamara, who's still out with an illness, is probably, well, Matisse Thybulle's probably your next in line, because if he's healthy, he can put up a ton of defensive stats, and that's enough to kind of carry him. But I'm not adding him in Roto. I'm not adding Jabari Walker because his fantasy game is super limited. I'm not adding Chris Murray because his fantasy game is limited. I'm not adding Reith because his game is limited. I'm not adding Banton because his game is limited. Kamara would be the one behind Thybulle where it's like, all right, well, you know, if we find out that these guys can settle into, let's say Matisse plays 28, 29 minutes consistently. He only got 26 in this one, but it was enough because he hit his threes. Kamara needs 30 plus. Thybulle probably needs about 28 to get there. And then, you know, Jabari Walker not only needs a lot of minutes, but he needs more usage guys out of the way. Reith, no. Banton, no. Murray, no. So that's the thing with the Blazers is that you've got a bunch of guys that don't have particularly translatable nine category fantasy game. Although we did hear, by the way, I don't want to forget to mention this. It sounds like Scoot Henderson might be back by the weekend, who, mind you, is also another guy who doesn't really have nine-cat translatable fantasy game. But if he happens to surface, if we get word that's like, oh, Scoot's going to play on tomorrow, or they got a game the next day, Saturday against Toronto, that would be a guy you probably pick up and just ride with it, because Portland starting tomorrow goes 5 times in 7 days on the head-to-head side. So head-to-head, he becomes very interesting, but I don't know how you add any of those guys in Roto. They've all been nine-category disasters. Yeah, I mean, that's like, you're reaching a little bit there. Hey, this is a great time for me to remind you guys of one of our amazing partners here on the show. So, listen, I do want to quickly mention to all of you watching why it's important to have and use a VPN. Especially now, where every website you go to tells you that they're, you know, taking your cookies, and internet service providers are tracking everything you're doing. And you, like, you wonder why when you open up a new browser window, it's like, hey, we saw you looking at these shoes. Are you tired of everyone knowing every move you make? ExpressVPN. That's your answer. And I can say with full confidence that ExpressVPN is the best VPN on the market. Here's why. They don't log your activity online. ExpressVPN doesn't do it. The cheap and free VPNs, they actually make their money by selling your data back to advertisers. So the whole point, like maybe not the whole point, but a large portion of the reason you used that VPN to begin with, they ruin it for you. But ExpressVPN does not do that. They even developed a special technology they call Trusted Server that makes their VPN incapable of storing any data at all. Yep. In one ear and out the other. It's like when I'm talking to my kids. Their brain is Trusted Server. ExpressVPN is also the fastest. It uses a technology called Lightway. It's a new VPN protocol to make their speed faster than ever. I've tried a bunch of VPNs, and sometimes they slow things down, which, you know, that was the sacrifice I made. But look, now I don't have to do that anymore. I can run blazing fast speed. I can stream videos in HD, all that stuff. Zero buffering, zero issues. ExpressVPN, and maybe the most important part of all, it's easy. People hear VPN, they think they're going to have to do something technologically weird. You don't. You download the app, you turn it on, boop, boop, one button. That's it. Goes from off to on. Works on your router, works on your computer. Like, you can cover a lot of stuff with it. It's great. I've been using it basically since they became a partner here on the show. You can do other stuff, too. You can change your location. Pretty cool. So protect yourself with the VPN that I use and trust. Use my link, expressvpn.com/hoopball. That's right. I like our old name. It's better. Today, and get an extra 3 months free on your one-year package. That is expressvpn.com/hoopball. Visit expressvpn.com/hoopball and learn more today. Let's finish up talking about some of these ball games. Milwaukee got smoked in Golden State. Giannis came back. It didn't really go as planned. Not surprisingly, Patrick Beverley went back to the bench and also sadly went back to doing very little. I don't want to take too much away from the Milwaukee side of this ball game. One thing I will note is that while Malik Beasley remains a perfectly serviceable replacement for Chris Middleton, and he's been kind of hovering in that doesn't matter zone almost the entire season at this point. He's been on kind of a cold spell by and large. So if he heats up, you'd see him, you know, move from the 130 range to like the 80 range and back and forth. I give you all full permission to use your Malik Beasley roster slot if you have him and try out somebody else. There's just all these things that are going to pop up now during silly season that you don't have to settle for a player who's going to be in that doesn't matter group. Meanwhile, over on the Golden State side, which was a little bit more interesting and also more confusing, Andrew Wiggins came back from his personal leave and only played 14 minutes. I'll admit, I don't know what it means. My assumption is that he's either mentally, physically, or both not all the way back. I do think that Wiggins has the upside, and we saw it for a few weeks, a month-ish, before he left the team for these personal reasons. We know Wiggins has the individual per-game upside to warrant a roster spot in almost every format. So what I would recommend here, what am I doing is usually the question, is I'm stashing him on my roto bench. I'll pick him up, but I'm not playing him because he has better upside than a lot of the guys that are floating around on the waiver wire right now. But you can't use him against the games cap until we actually see him play 27, 28 minutes in a ballgame. Will that be tonight against Chicago? I don't know. San Antonio on Saturday. San Antonio again on Monday. They don't have a great schedule, so head-to-headers, you guys probably just have to let him sit. Brandon Pajemski played 26 minutes in this one. I ultimately don't think he's going to need to be rostered. He's a guy that needs basically full starters minutes to get there, especially when this team has their usage guys in. Klay Thompson's a hold. He would have played more if this game wasn't a blowout. Chris Paul did a lot in a little. He's a hold as well. Jonathan Kuminga, better ball game for him. He's been very up and down, as we talked about. But I'm assuming most of you are past your trade deadline, but if not, sell high on Kuminga when he has some good ball games in a row. And then Trayce Jackson-Davis went crazy for 18 minutes. He is not an ad. And finally, wrapping up yesterday's card, De'Aaron Fox. Boy, does he love playing the Lakers. But who doesn't if you're a fast guard? Just cooking Lakers guards. This game was like the most prime example of how the Lakers miss Jared Vanderbilt and Gabe Vincent, the only two guys that they have that can maybe stand a chance, and Vanderbilt wouldn't be able to stand a chance because he's too big, of staying in front of an offensive player. No one else on this team ever stays in front of anybody. Austin Reeves started to try to do it in the second half, but like, woof. Anyway, as far as the Kings go, Kevin Huerter was a disaster in this game. Malik Monk is badly outplaying him right now. Also, again, another fast guard just roasting the Lakers. Malik Monk's been a head-to-head stream for about 3 or 4 weeks now. This game obviously would have played on both head-to-head and roto. And I've explained it before, but without going into too much excruciating detail, why do I call him head-to-head stream and not a roto stream is that for Monk, there's usually one or two categories where he's not good at all. And so that pulls his value down, but it's almost like an artificial sag on the value. If you're in any format in head-to-head where maybe that's not a category you're attacking, he leaps into the must-play territory. So keep streaming Monk. Herter's dead meat. Trey Lyles played 30 minutes in this ballgame. Kind of a weird twist. They ended up going a little bigger, but also Harrison Barnes. Woof. Doesn't matter. Not much on the Kings. LeBron left this game late, just a couple minutes to go. Lakers were out of it by then. He was in the middle of a very nice offensive ball game. He and Rui Hachimura were. It's so weird. I mean, I know this podcast isn't the venue for me to vent about the Lakers' rotations and what Darvinham does with this team, but good Lord, what a disaster. If LeBron has to miss a ball game, Rui Hachimura, who already was putting up pretty big offensive numbers, he'll be asked to do more on the boards more than anything. They'll go tell Rui, you got to go get a damn rebound, which continues to be a massive issue for this Lakers team. Anthony Davis always struggles with Domantas Sabonis. I don't know why they didn't try something different. Like, maybe play a big lineup. See what happens there. Let somebody else get beat up by Sabonis and let AD do some more roaming. Nope. Just press the try it again button. Idiotic. Anyway, he'll be fine as long as he's not playing Sabonis again. D'Lo, AD, LeBron, Reeves, those are the guys you're playing. But if LeBron sits out, you'll get a lot of extra AD, D'Lo, and Reeves, and you'll get Rui moving more definitively above the cut line. And that's that. Meanwhile, the only Laker that I can find, actually two Lakers had a plus one, plus minus, was Max Christie and Jackson Hayes. Poor Max Christie. What did he do to deserve this? I do not know.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And that's your yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. That's yesterday's card. Again, I'm going to take a quick look at the chat room now just to see if anybody brought up a point that I forgot to mention. But before I do that, I want to remind everyone once again that after the conclusion of this show, I'm going to go take care of some various work stuffs throughout the day, probably helping to promote that baseball draft guide again. Come on. Give it a go. Yeah. And then, after lunch, we'll get our streaming show going. Okay? That'll be when the other half of that is. So make sure you subscribe so that you can get alerted when that show drops. We do it with a couple hours to go, typically before lineup lock. So you should have time to make your moves today if you want to make any. But you're not going to get it in time if you're not subscribing. So please take a moment, subscribe however you're taking in the show. Like it if you're watching either on Twitter or on YouTube or whatever. And hey, I haven't bugged you that much. I sort of say it in passing, but like at some point here towards the end of this season, I'm going to start asking people individually to drop some five-star reviews on stuff. Now would be a perfectly okay time if you guys wanted to do that early. Pretty please? All right, what do we got in the chat room? Ooh, there's a lot of chats today. What do we got? Delonte says, I grabbed Lonnie Walker over Dorian Finney-Smith, and shortly after DFS got grabbed, then Lonnie got ruled questionable. Whoops, that's a dirty word. I didn't mean to put that on there. Sorry, everybody. We try to keep this clean. I didn't read the very last word of the post. Yeah, I mean, not much you can do about that other than hope that Walker plays through it. If he's out, you probably get a pretty good Dennis Smith Jr. game. So keep one eye on that. A lot of chatter in the chat room, which is, I guess, where chat happens. Chatter happens in the chat room. About the Cat situation, I think we covered that in pretty good form. Is DeAndre Hunter worth a waiver ad? I'm going to say yeah. Especially with Jalen Johnson out, they're going to have to give Hunter basically whatever minutes his legs can handle. For this current week only, Okoro or Buddy healed. I think they each have two games left, right? Give me Buddy. Two games. Should I keep both DiVincenzo and Josh Hart or drop one of them? Keep them both until somebody comes back for the Knicks. They've been great. Knicks got a good report today. Sounds like Mitchell Robinson is ramping up. That'll ruin Isaiah Hartenstein. At least that'll make it easier for us to part with Hartenstein and his weird Achilles situation. Also, it sounds like OG Anunoby is now just a week or two away. So we may get some drops coming up for the Knicks, but not yet. Is Jakob Poeltl a safe drop if your playoffs start next week, basically? Yeah, probably. Is Jeremy Grant for Kelly Olynyk a fair trade? Yes, it is. So, I mean, someone's going to be like, oh no, Jeremy Grant is better. Here's the thing. Olynyk's probably going to be better from a per-game standpoint, and you don't have the quite as large of a shutdown risk at play. If this thing gets vetoed, it's because everybody doesn't want you getting Olynyk. I don't think it's the other way around, but that's a fair trade. What else we got here? Anything else that is Chris Middleton, Trey Mann, or Kelly Olynyk? That's Olynyk. Santi Aldama or Luke Kennard? Well, Kennard has been missing some games, so you probably have to go Aldama. If this is games cap, you go Kennard because you just play him when he starts. And if it's head-to-head, you probably go Santi because you just don't want any zeros mixed in there. Guys, I'm not going to do the whole, like, rank six guys things. I'm sorry. That's just not a thing I can do live on air. I can do these quick ones. I can do a couple of names that maybe I didn't mention. Like, we didn't talk much about the Knicks because they didn't play yesterday. And, you know, if that gets into strategic stuff, that's fine. But if your question is, like, rank five guys, not happening. You can take that into Discord. You can hit the pros. If you're on an NBA pass, you have access to the premium pro Q&A. If not, you can take it and go kind of crowdsource it or throw it in the comments section on the show after the fact here on YouTube. That's also a viable strategy, if you so choose. By the way, what was the final total on games played for Ben Simmons this year? 15. How many of those were after he came back from injury? Because we said over under 5. He went over 5. But it wasn't by much. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He played 9 games after coming back from injury. Just barely squeaked out the over. Still, I don't think I can count it, because he didn't crack 24 minutes in any of those games. Guys, if we've learned anything, it's stop dealing with Ben Simmons. It's just not going to be worth your time. Go spend your fantasy brain space and draft capital somewhere else. Here's an interesting one. Who would I drop first, Jalen Johnson or Marvin Bagley? Well, it's an almost impossible question, actually, because Bagley is day-to-day, and I think Jalen Johnson is going to be more week-to-week. But if you've got a stream right now, it's Bagley, because Jalen Johnson is so much better, and we don't officially have a report for him on it. It didn't look good for Jalen. Let's just say that. So in all likelihood, he misses more time than Bagley does. But we don't know. Maybe Bagley misses a week. And if that's the case, then it kind of works out the same for you, doesn't it? So I think it's got to be Bagley. Should I drop Buddy Hield to add Nick Richard? Punting free throw percent starting Monday. Boy, Nick Richards is not very good, but Charlotte does have a very good schedule starting tomorrow, basically. They go 6 times in 9 days. You got 4 games in 6 days to start next week out of Nick Richards. You only get 3 games in those 6 days out of Buddy Hield. I think I'd probably stay with Hield. I think 3 games out of Hield is probably better than 4 out of Richards. And is Malik Beasley a drop? Vinyl collector. I talked about this earlier on the show, by the way. I think Malik Beasley is droppable because there are just a lot of really interesting players floating around right now. Boy, I'll tell you, whatever I did differently over on the way we're posting these shows on social media these days, my StreamYard says there's 720 people watching right now. It must be mostly over on Twitter. Actually, you know what? It has the breakdown. That's cool. About 100 on YouTube and 600 on Twitter. Wow. Well, that's pretty cool. All right, I think that's going to wrap us up. We've cleared the 45-minute mark. Oh, quick question here. What do I do with Dante DiVincenzo when the OG comes back? You wait and see. I wouldn't do any pre-drops there. It might be Josh Hart that takes the hit, or it might be Achiuwa that takes a hit. And Dante was putting up pretty close to startable numbers even before all the injuries happened and he had to begin taking 20 shots a ball game. So I would hold basically as long as you possibly can. DiVincenzo's been very good and could still post value even after guys start to come back. Where is your hat from? Oh, that's Oski Bear. That's Oski Bear. He's the Cal mascot, Cal Berkeley. I'm a UC Berkeley molecular and cell biology grad. Why did I go into baseball, basketball, broadcasting, and fantasy sports? Brr? A glutton for punishment, I guess? I don't know. In my eyes, becoming a doctor was a glutton for punishment. It's fine, though. I married a doctor, so it worked out. So anyway, go Bears. Go Cal Bears. I think they play Stanford coming up here, so it's rivalry time for my California Golden Bears, newest members of the ACC. Oh, what's up, Admiral Nita? Molecular biology there, too. What was your emphasis? Mine was immunology. Some people are always like, what do I do about this cold? And I'm like, I don't know, man. Drink some OJ. It was actually fun. I still find immunology extremely interesting, but I just really didn't want to be a doctor. And I'm a bit of a... Well, I just like the sound of my own voice. I figured that was weird because people are always like, everybody always talks about how they hate their own voice. And so I thought, well, if I'm like one of the only people who kind of likes how I sound myself, then maybe I should do something where I just listen to my own voice all the time. And here we are. If you guys like the sound of my voice, I'll be broadcasting USC Trojans baseball all weekend long, Friday, Saturday night, and then Sunday afternoon. Those games are available, I believe, on the I think it's on the ESPN Plus app, perhaps, or on the Trojans website. Either way, get to hear me shout into the void in another... Not into the void, though. There are people around me for that stuff. All right. We've lost the thread here on the show. Thank you again, once everybody, for tuning in. It's been a blast. It's really just cool to see how many people are finding the show, either on YouTube or on social. One last reminder, please like, rate, subscribe on your way out. And check out that baseball draft guide. This is one of those opportunities where we try to grow Sports Ethos. Moving memberships is ultimately the premier way to do it. All the little things you guys have done all season, those are very helpful also. Believe me, I'm very, very, very grateful of all the likes and all the retweets and all the subscriptions on YouTube and whatever you guys are doing to kind of share the Sports Ethos stuff. But at the end of the day, we got to keep the lights on. So if you guys play fantasy baseball, it's a great place to do it. If you have the NBA pass, upgrading to baseball just costs a dollar to turn it into an all sport. That deal, again, just for a few days longer. And shout out once again to our pals over at ExpressVPN today. ExpressVPN.com/hoopball gets you 15 months of their service for the price of 12. It's a really good deal, and it is actually a very, very good VPN. Okay, have a good one, everybody. We'll see you guys in a couple hours for the streaming show. That's why you subscribed. Bye-bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.